Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our trek through St. Matthew with Last Judgment Part 2, Plot to Kill Jesus, Anointing at Bethany, Betrayal and Last Supper, and the Institution of the Holy Eucharist. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
It turns out that God is very particular about how his name is used, and in some cases particular about who uses his name, who claims to speak in his name. In the Old Testament, we have prophets who come speaking in the name of God, saying, "Thus says the Lord." What if you said that, "Thus says the Lord," when the Lord had not authorized you to use his name? And how does God authorize us to use his name today, and especially the pastors in our midst? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Our series, The Sacred Names of God, continues. Today, we're going to talk about the authorized use of God's name. Dr. Kevin Golden is our guest. He's pastor of Village Lutheran Church in St. Louis. He has a PhD in biblical studies with an emphasis on the Old Testament from Concordia Seminary, and he's author of the new book, Blessed Be His Name. Dr. Golden, welcome back.
Good to be with you.
You say that authorization to speak in another's name cannot be taken, it can only be given. Why is that important in this case?
Well, you might even think about how we handle a power of attorney even amongst human beings, that you cannot claim to be power of attorney for somebody else. It has to be given to you. Most likely, if that person declares you that themselves, if they get into an incapacitated state, then you have the court that will make that declaration. So you don't have the right to go out and claim and say, "Hey, I get to speak on somebody else's behalf." Now, that's true amongst humans. It's all the more true when it comes to God. And really, the history of humanity has been littered with individuals who have claimed that they speak on behalf of God, have never been so authorized to speak on his behalf. And so what they set forth, claiming that it's coming from God, is nothing but lies. And therefore, they lead people astray, lead them into self-destruction in the process. Instead of when you do get the authorized word of God, now you've got something that brings life instead.
Give us some scriptural examples of God authorizing someone to speak in his name.
Well, a huge example would be Moses, of course. He's a huge figure biblically, and not only does he, by his hand, put down the first 5 books of the Bible, they're speaking, if you will, in God's name with his authority, but also you can just read through the book of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and there you have Moses continually speaking at the authorization of the Lord. So Moses would be a huge figure, so that when he stands before Pharaoh, he says, "Let my people go," and that is actually God saying it through Moses. But you can then extend this to all the prophets throughout Holy Scripture. You might think of Isaiah, or one that immediately comes to mind for me is Jeremiah. Jeremiah, who in the early 6th century BC is crying out to God's people as they're headed towards exile, calling them to repentance, telling them, "Listen to the word of the Lord that I have been given to declare to you so that you might repent and be saved." So he's speaking on behalf of God. If only they'll listen to what he has to say, then they'll really be listening to the Lord, and salvation will come.
What does Scripture have to say about those who speak in God's name without being authorized to do so?
Well, with each of these individuals that is authorized to speak in God's name, you find out there's also all kinds of words of warning about those who will do just the opposite. So, for example, with Moses, when we get to the book of Deuteronomy, and here is Moses preparing the people of Israel to go into the promised land, preparing to hand over leadership to Joshua, and so he's reminding them of everything that the Lord has done on their behalf, but also he's giving them some prophetic promise of what is yet to come. And he says, there's going to be another one who comes who's going to speak like Moses, and this is fulfilled in Christ himself, But then he also turns around and says, but watch out for those who will claim to speak in the name of the Lord, but yet they are lying spirits. And so there's that solemn warning, don't listen to just anyone. The same kind of teaching is taken up, for example, by John in his epistles, where he warns that we should test the spirits, making sure that you're not just listening to anybody who claims to speak on behalf of God, but only those who truly are. So you test the spirits by taking what they have to say and holding it up against Scripture. You can also see the same thing again with Jeremiah. So there's Jeremiah who is being faithful because he's telling the people what they need to hear, but not what they want to hear. Yet at the same time also, there are false prophets running around who are doing just the opposite. They only tell the people what they want to hear, give them easy words, not the hard words that they need to have to call them to repentance.
How is Jesus uniquely authorized to speak in God's name?
Well, being God himself and being the very Son of God, he bears an authority that no prophet before had ever had and no prophet ever would have again. In catechesis, we often speak about the threefold office of Christ, so that he is prophet, priest, and king. And he does each one of those offices in a unique way that breaks the mold, so that he is, for example, the prophet of all prophets. And one of the ways that you can see this, it's one of the standard phrases that prophets will use. When they really want to get your attention, they'll say, thus says the Lord. So Isaiah uses that a lot. Other prophets do as well. And it's their way to say, all right, if it's just Isaiah saying this, you can ignore it. But it's not me saying it. I'm speaking on behalf of the Lord. So if you ignore this, you're really ignoring the word of the Lord, and you do that at grave peril. Now, Jesus, on the other hand, when you go to the New Testament, you never find him saying, thus says the Lord. Instead, you'll hear things like this. Go to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5 through 7. And there in Matthew 5 through 7, Jesus will say things like this. You have been told, you shall not murder. But I am saying to you that anyone who hates his brother is liable to judgment. Or a little bit later, he'll say, you have been told, you shall not commit adultery. But I am saying to you that anyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has committed adultery already in his heart. You've been told, do not give false testimony against your neighbor. But I am saying to you, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And so Jesus, what he does here is he appeals to his own authority because he is God in human flesh. And this causes the people to marvel. When you get to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, we are told that the people marveled because Jesus did not teach as their scribes and Pharisees had been teaching, but rather Jesus taught as one with authority. And so Jesus bears this unique authority. And so for that same reason, Jesus will go around, and when he's going about miracles, he will pray to the Father and such, but often when he goes about his healing ministry, he just speaks the word because he is God using his own authorized word.
Talk about the apostles and the special authority that Christ gives to them to speak in his name.
The apostles are appointed by Christ in order to speak in his name, to deliver to people what he has earned for them by his cross, but now it's going to be delivered through his word. And so Christ establishes the apostolic office for that very purpose. It's good to keep in mind that when it comes to the apostles, there are specific qualifications to be an apostle. One of those is they were to have seen the resurrected Christ, and another one is that they are specifically called by Christ to speak on his behalf. And so you have the apostles that are rather famous, including Paul, who describes himself as an abnormally born apostle because he didn't see the resurrected Christ at the time of the resurrection. It wasn't until years later on the way to Damascus when Christ appears to him and he knocks him off his donkey and he's blinded and such. So when Christ establishes the apostolic office, He's doing it for the purpose of speaking on his behalf, to deliver his word to others, so that when you hear an apostle speaking, you're hearing Christ himself speak. So one could rightly say, well, I wasn't converted by the preaching of the apostles. I was converted by the preaching of Christ, who delivered his word to me through the apostles. So you might even consider an example also of the healing ministry of the apostles. We are told in the book of Acts how Peter and John are on their way to the temple. They come across a lame man who's begging, and they say, hey, we don't have any money to give you, but what we do have, we'll give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. And the man gets up and walk. Here you see the authoritative word of Christ that is being delivered through the apostles to bring about this healing.
Does this apostolic authority continue among us today? And if so, how?
Well, we do confess that we believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. And that's our way to say that we still teach, we still hold, we still confess the same things that were confessed by the apostles. So yes, the apostolic authority still continues because their teaching still continues among us today. But the apostolic office came to an end with the death of John, who was the last of the apostles still alive and then passed away himself. So that we no longer have further apostles, if you will, who are speaking with the same authority that they had in the first century. No, the apostolic office has come to a close, but its authority continues on in the proper preaching and teaching that flows from what they preached and taught.
So why does Jesus authorize us to speak in his name?
Well, because the world needs what we have to speak in his name. The world needs the forgiveness that he delivers through his word. The world needs the salvation, the eternal life that only can come through his word. So if these things are not delivered in his name by the church today, then the world is going to perish. But the Lord would not have that be the case, so he continues to deliver his goods through the word spoken by his church.
Where is this authority given by Christ? Where do we find it?
Well, one great example is Matthew chapter 16. So here we have the institution of the office of the keys that is taking place in Matthew chapter 16, where Jesus talks about the keys of the kingdom and how he gives this to the church. So we rightly understand that what Christ is doing in Matthew chapter 16 is he is authorizing his church to speak forgiveness to the penitent and to bind sins or withhold forgiveness from the impenitent. Here's Christ giving that authorization so that when the church does this very thing, when the church forgives sins, it's as if it's being done in heaven itself. In fact, Jesus even talks about that in Matthew 16, that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Here's that authority of Christ given specifically to the church to speak on his behalf.
How do we know that someone is authorized to speak for Jesus?
Well, they have to have this specific calling. Now, you do also have biblical warnings again, like we mentioned in Deuteronomy, where we are told that the way that you test a prophet is by looking at what he says. And if it comes true, all right, he's legit. But if it doesn't come true, then he is illegitimate. And then Deuteronomy is pretty strong to say, well, the proper punishment for such a false prophet is to be stoned to death. And so you always hold up what they have to say against reality. But also, here's the other one, is when it comes to hearing somebody preach today, you hold up what they have to say against the word of God. So if they claim that they're speaking on behalf of God, but what they say is out of concert with the word of God, then you know that they are a lying spirit and they are not speaking on God's behalf.
If someone claims to be an apostle today, how should we react to that?
Well, I would say one of the first things you could or should do is run the other direction. You know, flee false prophets. And it's a tragedy that today there are those who do claimed the title of apostle. And it is a false claim, to say the least. It's a dangerous claim. It's one that's going to imperil lives, imperil salvation for many individuals, because they will be looking to these individuals for an authority that they do not have. So if somebody claims to be an apostle, the first thing is, do not listen to them. Flee from them, but instead listen to what the apostles themselves actually have taught. Listen to what you hear from the apostles in the book of Acts within their epistles. So the writings of St. Paul, St. Peter, St. John. So that's what you listen to, and then you use that as the standard against which you hold up all the others who would claim to be speaking on behalf of God.
Dr. Kevin Golden is pastor of Village Lutheran Church in St. Louis. He has a PhD in biblical studies with an emphasis on the Old Testament from Concordia Seminary, and he's author of the new book, Blessed Be His Name. You can purchase Blessed Be His Name online at issuesztc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Next time in our series on the sacred names of God, we'll talk with Dr. Golden about the name of the Lord fulfilled in Jesus. Kevin, thanks.
Always good to be with you.
Dr. Craig Evans will be with us on the other side of the break. We'll do our series with him, the New Testament manuscripts. Why are scholars interested in Jesus' sexuality and even willing to go along or even create hoaxes in order to find it?
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our trek through St. Matthew with Last Judgment Part 2, Plot to Kill Jesus, Anointing at Bethany, Betrayal and Last Supper, and the Institution of the Holy Eucharist. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
What are the particular comforts of Lutheran theology and practice? Find out in my column in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesztc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Peter Slayton writes about growing up in a Christianity that was more about him and what he was doing, and finding in the Lutheran Confession a Christianity that focused on Jesus. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
If only we could see and hear what takes place in the divine service. The holy God's voice pours out eternal gifts. Sinners are washed in cleansing water that saves them from death. The Son of God gives his body and blood for us, the food of immortality. The church on earth blends her voice with angels and saints in glory to praise our God. These wondrous mysteries take place at Our Savior Lutheran Church in Stevensville, Montana, 184 Pine Hollow Road. Call 406-777-5625 or find us on Facebook.
Logia Journal, the Confessional Dogmatic Series. The works of Kurt Marquardt and many other resources are all brought to you by Luther Academy. Did you know that during this time of COVID-19, your purchases and donations help Luther Academy supply these same resources to pastors around the world? Please consider helping us with this important need through your prayers and financial support. Learn how you can help by visiting lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Is it hard? Yes. Will it challenge you? Absolutely. Is it a blessing from God for you and those you will serve? Without question.
Dr. Lawrence Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
The pastoral ministry is all of these things, and that's why Concordia Theological Seminary exists, to form servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Men from all over the world with a variety of unique backgrounds come to our campus to receive faithful training that will equip them for the challenging but blessed work of serving as pastors in Christ's church.
Learn more about studying for the vocation of pastor at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Christ-centered worship, confessional theology, Lutheran community, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.